Third and final hour of the day. Third and final hour of the week. Welcome in. I'm Damian Barling, along with the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. The king of the live stream, Jason Herbert Walker Ross. We welcome those listening on 1140 AM in Northern California. We welcome those watching on YouTube and on KHDK.com. We've had a fantastic Friday so far. Melissa Villasenor of Saturday Night Live joined us in the first hour here in the studio. She's going to be performing at the Punchline tonight and on Saturday. So tonight and tomorrow, go check her out. She was an absolute blast to have in here. And we've got basketball tonight, man. We had some basketball last night. Yeah. We had a couple of I know, right? We had a couple of you know, you use the line, we look forward to football. We can't wait till football gets here. And then the preseason gets here, and it's like, okay, we just really need the regular season to get here. We were saying the same exact thing about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, these playoffs are going to be good. There's some good matchups. I think the Brooklyn Nets, they could shock some people. I think the Clippers are going to give the Warriors some fits. And then the playoffs start, and it's kind of like, okay, maybe we just need to get to the second round of the playoffs because some of this doesn't feel fun.
Well, I'm not there yet with the first round. I'm not done with it yet because I think we've already had some interesting moments. I would say the Warriors, obviously the 31-point collapse.
We've had a lot of comebacks.
Yeah, they reestablished themselves last night. But, you know, Orlando started it off with a surprising win, though I don't know how much damage they'll ultimately do in that series. Brooklyn started out with a nice win. We've seen some dominant performances by Houston, but I still think there's a couple series that are going to go for a while here in the first round.
And one of them, let's get right into it. We'll go back to what happened last night. Let's cover the past before we get to the future.
Okay.
But I know one of the series that you think is going to go a long time, one of those games is tonight. Durant was dominant last night in his game three performance, 38 points. Two guys who played last night really kind of stepped out on the floor and tried to show some people up, whether it was Patrick Beverley for Kevin Durant or, it's a weird sentence, Jared Dudley for Ben Simmons. But a great night for both of those guys. We'll start with KD, 38 points in about 30 minutes of play. He was hitting from all over the floor. He was hitting when Patrick Beverley was guarding him. The Warriors outscored the Clippers by 32 points when Durant was on the floor. He was, in every sense of the word, unstoppable last night.
A great version of him, right? We haven't seen that enough as of late, but last night, Kevin Durant reminded us he was Kevin Durant. He said he didn't have to remind us. Well, he did, though, in the way he played, the efficiency that he showed, the dominance that he showed. He just also, I don't know, he's been an interesting. We do this a lot and probably too much, but the body language. Is he having fun?
I don't know.
Right? I mean, the fact that I don't know that either. He might be, but it just, we were talking about that yesterday with his 60-minute interview, just some of his reactions. Like, I had heard him say how much he enjoyed going to that culture that was the Warriors when he left OKC. Like, immediately, just, man, the way they play, the way they treat everybody, the way it is here, he really enjoyed that. I don't feel like I've heard that from him as much lately.
We should get an Oklahoma City guy on and ask him, like, what, like, was Durant like this in Oklahoma City and we just didn't know it? Like, who is Kevin Durant? Mm-hmm. Do we even know?
Would you like to talk to Stephen?
I would actually like to talk to Barry, the guy who was trying to talk to Stephen.
But can't talk to Russ.
Russ won't talk to him.
Gotcha.
Russ is doing the next question gimmick.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either, but does it help if he's only doing it to one guy? He's doing it to Barry Trimmel, our guy who just still is trying to talk to Stephen.
Yeah.
He only does it to him. He doesn't do it to anybody else.
Be funny if he gets to talk to Stephen, if Stephen tells him, talk to Russ.
Do you remember, there was a clip, I think it was, I don't remember if it was last year. I think it was last year, where it was Barry that asked him, like, Russ, are you okay? You seem a little surly. And Russ just goes, no, I just don't like you.
Well, he's honest.
And I actually heard Barry say one time that he felt great about that because it was the first time in Russ's like 7-8 years, however long it's been, that Russ acknowledged him. So it's like, I love Russell Westbrook. I don't love everything about Russell Westbrook.
Right.
And I don't like that because guys have jobs to do. And,
sure.
Barry's got a job to do. All those media people have a job to do. And just because you are having a bad stretch here, the Thunder are having a bad stretch, doesn't mean, or you don't like this part of your job, doesn't mean you should shut them out.
And I think it goes across both sides here, because I would say, hey, media members, sometimes ask better questions. But I've been there. I've asked terrible. I mean, it happens.
Talk about's not a question.
Right.
Tell me about is not a question.
Yeah. Certain things, we all get guilty of getting into crutch phrasing. I mean, everybody has done it. But also, you can answer it. In some way, you could choose to answer it whatever way you want. Yeah. And some coaches, it still makes me laugh. There was one this year, and Dave Yeager's done that before. Someone said, can you talk about something, something? Yep. So he can.
Well, Russ did it
last
year. He said, hey, can you talk about? And just, no.
Right. So that's the answer. Mm-hmm. You ask me a question. Can I? Yeah. Can I? No.
Because if you say yes, you can, if you're quick enough, can think of a follow-up.
Right.
But if you say no,
it's done.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're cooked. Like, it's over.
The whole thing. Can you talk about tonight's game? Nope.
All right. Next, we're going to bring out Steven Adams.
But I want to talk to Russ.
That's a phrase that I don't think has ever been uttered by anybody in the Oklahoma City media. But I don't, I don't know who Kevin Durant is as a person.
Either.
I don't know if he's happy in Golden State. I don't know where he's going in July. But I know there's been a lot of talk about his play through the first two games where he had 24 shot attempts combined. Last night he had 23, and Steve Kerr addressed that.
He had a different mindset tonight than he had the other night, and set a tone right away. And our guys loved it. His teammates were excited about the way he started the game, and I think that was infectious and carried over to our defense, too. I thought our defense was fantastic tonight.
This has got to be tough for Steve Kerr, too. This is why I hate the line, I can coach the Golden State Warriors. Look at all the talent. He's got to maneuver a 2-time finals MVP, a former league MVP, a guy who, you talk about body language, we have no idea. We have no clue what's going on behind the scenes. We saw something in front of us earlier this year with Draymond and Kevin Durant. And that's the guy who's got to navigate it all win games in the process.
What was it? It was late in the year, right, when the lip readers all thought that Steve Kerr said, I'm tired of Dre or can't wait to be done with
that's
you.
That's why
like
I'm out of here.
Yeah. And, okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that.
That was like in the first quarter of the season. Like it was at the very beginning of the year.
So there's always something for every team. But, yeah, it's a challenge.
But you are more likely to deal with these problems when you're good than when you're bad.
Right.
Because when you're bad, someone will just step like, dude, get his ass out of here.
Yeah, I'm not
just
playing for this coach.
Send him to Orlando or get this person out of here, get this person out of here. No one after that exchange went, get Kevin Durant off the Golden State Warriors or get Draymond Green off the Golden State Warriors. It's Steve Kerr that's got to – he's got to figure out a way to make
Steve
it work.
Or remove Steve Kerr. They're not saying that either.
I don't think. Right. No, no.
Yeah,
that's
better
absurd.
Better not be.
That's absurd. But all of that's irrelevant because Kevin Durant proved how – whether he was trying to or not – he proved that he was great again last night, and in case anybody had forgotten, or he proved that he was engaged if anybody thought that he wasn't. And now you look at the Clippers and go, okay, you got beat up a little in game one. You were down 31 in game two, and whatever happened, happened. And
you were down big again game three and never had a chance.
Yeah, you just got blown out again.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you got the next game in Los Angeles. You still have an opportunity to even things out. But, you know, if I'm Doc, I don't know where Doc is going here at this point because you can only go to that comeback so many times.
Right. And I don't think he's switching because some have suggested, put Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams in the starting lineup. That's not what they do. You could play him earlier. But the other thing, too, is I said once they had the miracle comeback and came back to make it 1-1, I thought it was important if and when the Clippers won game two. So their second win of the series. So are they going to get another one? They may not. They may lose this in five. But if they got their second win last night, now all of a sudden we're all on high alert. Wow, they're up 2-1. They have home court. You know, if they get it over the weekend to make it 2-2, still interesting. If they get it when it's 3-1, you're probably just a matter of days until you're done. And if they never get it, obviously they're out 4-1. So to me, it becomes interesting series if they really get a second win.
Ben Simmons is better than both Charles Barkley and Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah, I said it. He had 30 points last night and shot at a clip of 84%. That is the highest in 76ers playoff history for a 30-point game. Hopefully you've caught on to the gag now. Wilt Chamberlain and Charles Barkley are now second and third on that list. But that's not a game you see from Ben Simmons very often. 31 points from him. A really, really good night from Tobias Harris and J.J. Redick as well, 29 and 26 respectively. But the 76ers, again, it looked like a great game through a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third quarter got here, and the Brooklyn Nets didn't come out of the locker room.
Yeah, which they've had that hit them a couple times here. And we'll see if getting at home again for the fourth game can even up this series. To win without Embiid was impressive for Philadelphia. And Ben Simmons, another guy like Durant, got a little bit challenged by the opponent, and he responded. And that's what good players normally will do. They don't always do, but normally they will do.
He was challenged by a missing poster.
Yeah.
That was circulating. I found him.
Yeah, we all saw him last night.
I don't think Brooklyn wants to look for him anymore.
Yeah.
You might want to chill with some of that. Tobias Harris, I mentioned the 29 points that he had. Also had 16 rebounds, 6 of 6 from 3 for Tobias Harris, who is kind of, we haven't mentioned. I was just about to say he's kind of the forgotten member of the Philadelphia 76ers, but we haven't mentioned Jimmy Butler here in two conversations regarding the, but I guess when you're that, you know, no Joel Embiid last night, which I think is the biggest concern. I told you earlier in the week, I think they're immature. I wonder if their immaturity is going to keep them from getting past a tough team later in the playoffs. Now, and Joel Embiid playing day-to-day is what might keep them from beating a tougher team in the playoffs.
And he had those injuries his first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
This has been, he's had a few nagging things here and there. That's always, I guess that's going to follow him until he plays a full season or two full seasons or doesn't miss as many games. But, man, you just don't want to see some of your better players out at this time. I mean, that's what really derails your opportunities.
Derek White jerseys on the way for everybody watching on YouTube and the text line as well. We're sending them to everybody because apparently he is the new stud in the National Basketball Association. 36 points last night for Derek White. The Spurs take a 2-1 lead over the Denver Nuggets. So I'm going to ask you a question here because this might be a theme here for the final hour. We got the mailbag coming up at 2:30. If the Nuggets lose in this series against the San Antonio Spurs, is this season a failure?
I'm going to say no. But I know that's on my criteria. No.
What's your criteria?
There's growth. They have grown. They have gone to another level. They had not been a playoff team. It's disappointing beyond belief because to get nearly a one seed and home court, because I think then to me, if you're going above that, then it's championship. So it's championship or nothing. I don't think that's what it was for the Nuggets. I think it's a year of growth. I still think it would end brutally disappointing.
The first round.
It'd be bad, but I don't want to say does it matter. What if they got to the second round and lost? They're playing someone else they're supposed to beat as the two seed. It's not the Warriors. So it's the steps, but it's a painful one. It would be painful. I wouldn't go as far as to say I would say disappointing. I wouldn't say failure. That's my belief, but I get it if others would say so. But then I think you have to say failure if they don't win the championship.
This was the moment that I realized the San Antonio Spurs may very well be in the Western Conference Finals. Right now during this conversation, I just realized they could be in the Western Conference Finals.
That hit me with the Game 82. I went, the Thunder just made the finals.
Right.
Now, they may not. They're
in trouble.
Conference
Finals. They just made the Conference Finals.
But that same little four teams, one of them's going. I'm like, this is the Thunder. They're going to beat the Blazers.
Well,
they'll beat the Nuggets-Spurs winner. All of that could still happen. They just have a huge deficit to overcome, 0-2. But, yeah, same thought that you're having now with the Spurs.
Derek White, again, is 36 points, 26 in the first half, the most by a Spurs player in any half of a playoff game since Tony Parker had 31 back in 2009 against the Mavericks.
All right, so I have a question for you about the Spurs.
Okay.
Why do we, and I'm saying me, you, we, the collective we, treat the Spurs in a way of this is impressive, where New England were tired of? And is this because nobody still at this point thinks the Spurs are going to win the whole thing? Like, it's appreciation for being there. Oh, they might even beat the Nuggets. They might win the next round, but they're not winning this whole thing. Where the Patriots, it's they're in the Super Bowl again. I'm tired of them.
I think there's two reasons. One, I don't think anyone thinks the Spurs are going to get to the championship.
Right.
Nor win it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Tom Brady. Who is the definitive face of the San Antonio Spurs?
But that's not the same.
But if you, because Pop and Belichick canceled each other out, right? In this conversation, Brady is the definitive face of the New England Patriots. Yeah. Who is it for the Spurs?
And it's gone through different cycles. I would say Robinson to Duncan.
Right.
I don't know if Parker ever got it. Maybe.
I mean, Kawhi won an MVP, didn't he? Finals MVP. Yeah. So like you felt like it was Duncan, but then Duncan left, and it's okay. Okay, Duncan's gone.
Well,
Parker's gone.
Yeah.
Ginobili's gone. Kawhi is gone. And yet, here they are with a very real path to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and yet they have stars, Aldridge and DeRozan, but I don't feel like that's the team.
And arguably, I don't want to say their best player because that's not true. Perhaps their most, one of their most important players, we'll just put it that way, goes down before the season even starts.
DeJounte Murray.
Like, that's an
important position, guy that was growing, a guy that was getting better.
And you're in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with the hot Rockets.
Yep.
You're dealing with the young Utah Jazz. You're dealing with the young Denver Nuggets. You're dealing with the juggernaut that is the Golden State Warriors. You're dealing with whatever the hell the Oklahoma City Thunder are. You're dealing with you know, a dynamic backcourt and Dame and CJ.
Heck, and when the Kings were in the race, I'm like, this is the team to catch.
You're going to catch the Spurs, right?
Because you have the tiebreaker. They're vulnerable. You play them well. And
oh, by the way, the best player on the planet left the Eastern Conference to come play over in the West.
Right, and didn't even
make the... you're dealing with all of that.
Yeah.
But yet, here you are with a 2-1 lead over a team that, as you mentioned a moment ago, Jay Ross, they were pushing for the one seed or were the one seed the entire year.
Yeah.
I don't know that they ever fell out of second. Once they got to first, I don't know that they ever fell below second. We thought they would get caught by the Oklahoma City Thunder, but that's a different story because now the Thunder are on the verge of a massive failure. I think Chris, the champ, found that exchange between our buddy, friend of the show, Barry Trimmel, and Russell Westbrook.
Are you upset with something?
What you mean, upset?
I just don't like you.
You don't?
No.
Do you not like Nick either?
I love Nick, but I don't like you.
Well, you gave us about the same answers.
Yeah. You got another question?
You played a great game, one of your better ones. Is this one, in terms of production, assists, rebounds, points, is this one of the better games you can think of in your career?
Good execution.
Barry ain't scared of nothing.
No.
Barry does not care if Russell doesn't like him. Barry doesn't care what Russ says to him. He's going to get his damn answer one way or another.
Nope,
and if he's got to hold on the mic to talk to Steven, then damn it, he's going to do it.
I think he might actually like that Russell Westbrook doesn't like him.
I think he does, too.
Yeah.
I think he does, too.
I got a reaction.
Dude, Barry Trimmel, like you, Barry Trimmel's an old guy. He's been through that. Like, he does not give a you-know-what if a professional basketball player likes him or not.
Good for him.
I don't agree with Russ doing that.
Yeah.
But
that's your guy.
I love Russ's fire. I love his game. It doesn't mean he's not my hero, like Chris. Do we have another hero that you want to name here?
I was just going to say the best heroes have flaws, don't they?
Well, I don't know. What is the flaw of Melissa Senor? She's one of your heroes.
Can't find one.
Okay, right. Chase Serrano?
Still looking for it.
Okay, well, you named another one.
Michael Pena?
Yeah. Flaw?
I don't want to say it.
Okay. All right. And there you have it. And there you have it. There's no scandals associated with the Spurs either, by the way. To go back to your earlier question, is there's stank associated with the Patriots, whether it's real or fake or it's Deflategate or it's Spygate or it's Watergate or whatever gate that you want to use. There's something associated with the Spurs and the Patriots, and that rubs people the wrong way. Spurs, they win.
Yeah.
It's not exciting all the time, but they just win.
The only thing I could think of, and that's why it was a story, was Kawhi's. We just never really
figured
out.
And that wasn't a scandal. That was just weird.
Well, that's what it was. It was like, why is their best play? Why are they questioning whether he should be playing? Mm-hmm. This isn't very much like that organization. Kawhi not talking wasn't abnormal. I wanted him to talk, but that's normal. That's what he does.
Yeah.
That was about the only thing in recent memory that I could think of that was a little bit off.
I'll give you something right now, very present time that's off, and that's the Thunder. This is a massive failure if the Thunder lose. Because if they lose tonight, the series is over, the season's over, they're done. They're not winning four straight against the Portland Trailblazers. But what next? And I just can't get over what Sam Amick said to us the other day. how could Billy Donovan not – how does this not fall on Billy Donovan if the Thunder are taken out of the playoffs in the first round? I'm not even talking sweep. If they lose in seven, if they're taken out in the first round, how does Billy Donovan survive this?
I don't know. And Sam actually brought up the possibility of a shakeup there. Now, he wasn't breaking news. He was speculating, as he said, his words. I mean, would you move on from Russ? It seems crazy. Or Paul George. Well, Paul George just elected to stay there. I would think you'd try again. But to me, the quicker answer, if you're doing something, is Billy Donovan. But I don't know internally what they think of him, what the players think of him. He also brought up a great point about the same question you asked, but if somehow it's a turnaround and OKC wins this in six or seven, is Stotts in trouble? And basically, Damian Lillard is all in and you don't want to rock that boat.
Yeah.
And so that's another dynamic that you have to think of, because Lillard has been so pro-Portland. I'm not a guy that's chasing other things. I'm not a guy that wants to go to another team. He's been super impactful in that community. You start to upset him, I don't know how he would react, but I think you want to avoid that.
But you're right. You're 100% right.
And I think they've
right.
got an excuse.
That's it right there.
With the injury to Cantor. I mean, Nurkic.
Nurkic. Yeah. That's it right there. Cantor has been not so much in game two.
Game one, incredible, though.
Oh, like he's the reason they won game one.
Game two, they did some different things, and that's fine. McCollum and Lillard carried the show.
We'll save this because I got a peek at the mailbag question. So we'll save our thoughts on the Blazers and Thunder coming up here in just a few minutes. You said a second ago you still believe that there are some series that are going to go a long way.
For sure.
And I know one of them, and I don't agree with you at all.
Okay.
Is the Celtics and the Pacers. Game three of that series is tonight. It's in Indiana. I'm assuming you're all for the Pacers winning this series and it being 2-1.
Winning tonight,
I said tonight, sorry.
Correct.
I meant winning tonight. You think this series is going long, though?
I think this one's going seven. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 8 minutes. That's about the amount of time they went without scoring a basket the other night.
That's a problem. And 8-point quarter. That was the 12-point quarter. They had an 8-point quarter the game before. And again, could have won that game.
You have a chance right now to change your mind on this series and cut the 7-5.
Well, it's more likely that with a 2-0. But no, I'll stick with seven.
You've been adamant that the two games, doesn't matter. They won at home.
Yeah.
Pacers are going home now. They're going to win.
Very comfortable that this is going to be played for a while. And what I've seen, and more so from Boston, honestly.
Okay, so what I was going to say, does that have more to do with how you feel about Nate McMillan and the Pacers and what they've done without Victor Oladipo? Does it have more to do with what you haven't seen from the Boston Celtics?
That. I think it's that. I think it just, to me, from the get-go, had a feel of an even series. Indiana's really competitive. I mean, they compete on a nightly basis. I don't think Boston's all figured out, but I'm still going to stick with, I think Boston can win the whole thing. But it's series, it's matchups. I think this is a tough one. I think Indiana's DNA is feisty, relentless, competitiveness. That's what they do. I just think it's going to lend for a long series.
Okay. I think we got a little glimpse. Like, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You guys are a day late. Kyrie did it the night before.
Yeah.
Stars reestablishing themselves is the point that I'm making there. And I think that's what Kyrie did the last night. I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics not only win tonight, but win going away.
Oh, then if that's the case, I mean, Indiana win, of course. Sure, but... I might be here Monday going, why did I – you gave me a chance to change to 5, and they're already out. They lost Friday, they lost Sunday, and Indiana's gone fishing. So that's very much a possibility. I'm sticking with it.
Raptors and the Magic. Series moves to Orlando. The Magic, they played that – they got that first game. I thought this would be a difficult matchup for Toronto, and then the second game happened. And now I'm not so sure, but it feels like the Magic have been doing things to frustrate. It felt like they did things to frustrate the Raptors in game one. It didn't carry over at all to game two.
No.
I don't know what to expect from these next two games.
Yeah, sometimes you then just go to, okay, who's desperate? I don't know that anyone is here. Yeah. I think it's more important, honestly, tonight for the Magic to win, but because they got to establish and keep home court in the series where you're trying to pull off the upset. The better team is Toronto, and I don't know if they just kind of got a little bit of a slap in the face in game one. Kyle Lowry was called out again, another star, not to the level of KD and Kyrie, but I mean, he's a star, he's a good player, has had other playoff failures and sometimes didn't exercise those demons. He was really good in game two.
Well, he's had more not game one was very extreme.
Yeah, but that, like, he's had games similar
but
to that.
That's what I mean. But he's had more games like game one, again, maybe not to the extreme of 0 points, but he's had more poor performances than games like what he had in game two.
True.
I don't know. Of the three games, of all of the series, I don't know what to think of this one anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first two games were so dramatically different.
Yeah.
So dramatically different. We'll talk more about the playoffs. And we've got the mailbag. You have sent your letters here to 280 Commerce Circle, Sacramento, California, 95815, courtesy of Jason Ross. We have opened up all of your mail, and Jason will answer your questions next. Good stuff there on a Friday for sure. Not even good stuff. Great stuff
great
there.
Great is right.
Great stuff there on a Friday. Want to welcome him. It's been a fun Friday, man. Melissa Villasenor really kind of set this show off. Had a great conversation with her. Man, it must have been about 30 minutes or so talking about comedy, talking about SNL. Very funny young lady. Going to be at the Punchline tonight. Two shows tonight. Two shows on Saturday as well. We'll be back on SNL. I think it's when is the Sandler episode next? Is that next week? Or
no, it's a couple weeks off. I think early May.
Okay, yeah, I just randomly heard Adam Sandler say that he was hosting SNL in the coming weeks, and that was his first time hosting it. So, but it's just so much insight into SNL and the comedy process, and we really enjoyed that. And I have never seen you two happier.
Yeah, and Sonia from our music director. Wow. Yeah. She was excited.
She was, yeah. That was cool.
So now we need to get Becky Lynch on the show. I'm just going to concentrate on just getting my favorite people onto our show.
I'm fine with that. That's how we got Shea Serrano.
Yep.
When Chris is motivated, he's motivated. I need to know, Nate, our producer of the live stream, I need to know who signs in as Sports 1140 on our live stream. Because I feel like it's Dave getting nervous and monitoring what we're doing and make sure people don't like us too much or more people aren't watching on our stream than his. And it really agitates me when it pops up.
I think this was Nate, I think.
No, this wasn't Nate.
No?
No, this was not Nate.
Oh.
You're Jason.
Yeah.
I'm Damian.
Yeah.
And the crew is the crew. But Sports 1140 jumps in here and it's like, dude, is that Dave being Dave?
I don't know who that is.
Get to the bottom of this. But we welcome all those listening on 1140 AM. We welcome those watching on YouTube as we're trying to get this YouTube venture cracking here as we're expected to go Monday through Friday here pretty soon. Right now we're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And part of the Friday Spectacular is our weekly mailbag segment where you send your letters to 280 Commerce Circle.
Wait, the what segment?
Mailbag?
Mailbag.
That's it. I apologize. Cody is, she's in Montana, freshening up her accent.
Yes.
She'll be back with us next Friday. Until then, well, Chris, I guess it's on you, buddy.
Oh, cool. So,
cool.
So the first one is from our listener who's got a question. Michael Jordan called Tiger Woods' Masters win the greatest comeback I've ever seen. What about you?
I mean, the totality, like Jordan went on to say, here's a quote from Michael Jordan, and good for David Aldridge, by the way, to get the exclusive with Michael Jordan for The Athletic. I took 2 years off to play baseball, but nothing like that. I'm pretty sure he questioned himself whether he could get it back, and he had to put a lot of work in, but he took it head on. He had to change his game. He had to change his perspective a little bit. To me, it was the greatest comeback I've ever seen. Me too, Mike. I mean, we're talking 11 years. I know he had and this dates back not just the Masters. This is the culmination of what he was doing last year and what we were hanging on. In that moment, I don't remember the golf course on 18 when the crowd of people is following him up because he's won.
Right.
He's won at this point.
It's him and Rory, but they're all out about Tiger.
Rory tells him, dude,
Turn around. Check this out.
Look at this. Like, this is that scene out of Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Like, they're following us up. The 18, this was the cherry on top of all of that.
And you know what's a great get, like you said, from David Aldridge, but that's probably the next comp is Jordan. And that is a 2-year baseball run to come back and win some more championships. That was amazing.
Well, there aren't many level of athletes.
Right. Like
on,
that.
On
like
Tigers level, right? They're, that's probably it. I mean, if Brady took 2 years off and then came back and won a Super Bowl, maybe that's another comp. But there aren't many guys in that category.
But it's not only to do the 2 years. I mean, now we're talking about years off. But it's Jordan playing baseball and tearing ligaments or, like, reconstructing a leg or whatever, just a total, microfracture or something that he's going back to play basketball. Give it a try. See what he can do. I mean, Tiger, you know, his own self-affliction, but then his injuries to his leg, to his back. Could he even walk? People thought he would walk, but he was not walking well. And then could he swing? How effective would he be? And he just had to build his game for a long time. And I can't think of a better comeback. And it's the stature where he was to where he got to. And also the role he was in where there was a time where people didn't really like Tiger Woods.
I mean, right?
there were fans
absolutely.
Of him. But if you weren't, like, even the casual fans, it was like,
Yeah, that's not changed. Tiger was still gross.
Yeah.
Like, none of that has changed. This doesn't prop him up on the quality human being line. But that's not what we're talking about.
Right. But now I think he's got a group of – I think he's acting differently. I'm not talking about off, but, like, even on the course, like, there are people – he would yell at cameras, different – it looks like he appreciates things better. He knows what he lost. And so I think he's different in that realm. I don't know the private stuff, but just the actual on the course and what he's done.
He's still going ham in the clubs.
Probably.
No, I don't know. I have no idea if that's true.
You're talking about winning after a horrific injury. Kurt Angle winning a gold medal with a broken frickin' neck.
Nice job there, Chris. That's solid. How about George Foreman? That's good. That's a text line reference. How George Foreman, it felt like, was retired for a decade. He was retired for
maybe
a long
longer.
Time. And then he came out and did he won the championship, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't remember who he beat. I just remember the fight with Holyfield. And that fight was nuts. Those two were beating the crap out of each other. And I remember Holyfield hitting him and Foreman like rocking. Like he was gone, but he was still standing up. And I think maybe he beat Michael Moore. Like I can't really remember.
Yeah, Michael Moore.
Okay. I guess that's up there,
good.
But
yeah.
Of course, there is a boxer who was forced to take 4 years off in the middle of his prime and came back.
True.
Maybe Muhammad Ali deserves to be mentioned here in the greatest comeback of all time as well.
But I feel like anything Tiger now does, is anything going to be better than this moment this last weekend?
No. Unless.
If is Jack's number better, though? Because obviously we'll see some more winning. He's at 15 now, right? So he's gonna. It will feel normal. He'll have won a couple more majors. It will be significant in the golf world. But this last weekend felt like it hit everybody.
Yeah.
So beating,
you might be right.
Beating Jack's record would be great. It'll be a feat. It'll be a moment.
Yeah.
But I think we saw the biggest thing he could do to the masses.
Yeah, you might be right.
George Foreman took almost 11 years off.
Is that right?
And Tiger inadvertently took 11 years
right.
off.
Right, in a different way, yeah.
That's a good question. That's a great subtext to this. Was this the biggest moment for the rest of Tiger's career? That's a great, great question.
Because, like, you know, he was asked right after, this one's going to be tough to beat. And, like, the very next one would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it'll really spark, hey, can he catch him? Or how many major, you know, what's left? Will he also in any of this window become the oldest guy to win a major? There's some things out there, but I don't know that anything tops this last weekend.
Maybe it depends on if people think Tiger's already the greatest golfer that's ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, and he does get to 19, then maybe the perception is he was the greatest we ever saw, and he was tracking to destroy every record that was ever made. Then he had this, you know, the personal fumbles, the injury issues. Then he came back, he won the Masters, and then suddenly he was dominant Tiger again. I don't know. That's a great question that I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going to go from him better than this, but I just love this last moment. So, yeah, I'm going with it's the greatest comeback we've seen.
That's great. That's a good one. Chris?
Jeff Fisher is on Twitter, and he says he's not going to the XFL. Are you sad?
Do you believe it?
No.
Yeah. What other options? I mean, if you're a coach, you're always a coach. I know there. He did some TV. I thought he was. He was fine. Nothing stood out. But
no, he was not.
You know what I mean?
You were far more excusing of that than I was.
Go with fine. You're going way. Your bars.
I did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
At all.
You just don't like.
I just can't take. It's. I don't know the man. I just can't take him seriously.
I just don't like you.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
I just can't take you seriously. Yeah. Like you. It changed for me a little bit when we were told that coaches have final say on what's seen on Hard Knocks. And when I realized what we had seen from Jared Goff up until that point and Jeff Fisher signed off on it, it was kind of that point where I was like, this, I don't, that, you just, you made your quarterback look stupid.
Yeah, he did.
Whether it was for the purpose of a television show or was for the purpose of your own amusement, you made your quarterback look stupid. By the way, that quarterback is pretty damn good now. Pretty much every quarterback that has played for you has turned out to be pretty damn good, even a guy you seem to hate for no apparent reason in Case Keenum. Yeah, it's hard for me to take what he says seriously. And I know he was a solid 500 football coach, but I can't. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you.
Yeah.
I don't. If you're in the XFL, it's fun just because I feel like we'll be able to make jokes about it. Or he'll win. Either way, there's something there.
Yeah, I don't have an emotion like, are you sad to this? No, but I still think he could end up there. It depends on what the offer ends up being.
Chris, do the fourth question next. We'll do the middle one after the break.
Bigger shut the hell up performance. Kevin Durant or Ben Simmons?
I feel like it was Ben Simmons.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it was Ben Simmons because that's not Ben Simmons is capable. It's just not something we see very often. And then with the absence of Joel Embiid, first home game in Brooklyn, it was primed for the Nets to get the job done last night. And Ben Simmons was the reason that they did not. And, I mean, Jared Dudley, God bless him. You've been in the league a long time. You deserve the respect of it. You can't bark at play. You have to be a certain caliber player to bark at another player. I believe, I know he doesn't put up the same type of numbers, but I think Patrick Beverley can bark.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Dudley, I don't believe he can.
Yeah.
Especially at a player the caliber of Ben Simmons. Kevin Durant, that's Kevin Durant, the MVP, the two-time NBA Finals MVP.
Yeah. I took it the other way, but I see you have a good argument there. I felt like Simmons was saying the shut the hell up basically to Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
Durant was telling all of us, mm-hmm. like the world, like, why are you questioning me? Don't you know who I am? I don't think he was really even talking to Patrick Beverley. I think this was a collective to anybody that's doubting the Warriors, anybody that's doubting him, wondering why he didn't score that much. I felt like it was a covering a broader scope than a kind of zeroed in on Jared Dudley instead. But both are pretty good.
That's a solid point, too, because Kevin Durant is sick of our crap.
Yeah, he's telling you and me, and again, the collective, all of us, where Simmons, I think, was specifically going at Jared Dudley.
We'll wrap up the mailbag and our final thoughts on tonight's playoff games next here on The Lowdown. That's a good one that I haven't heard for a minute.
Long time. That's solid. Yeah.
That's solid. Paperboy. Oh, wow. Was that it? That was it, right? Diddy, and that was it? One hit wonder?
I can't think of another one. I wouldn't have, once you said the name, I wouldn't have been able to get it, but yeah. I can't think of another song.
Unfortunately, when I think of Paperboy, I think of Atlanta.
Help me.
That's Atlanta, the TV show.
No, I know.
His name is Paperboy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that Paperboy, still on?
Paperboy, all about that paper boy.
Yes, correct. It's in a season break, right? Or is it not coming back?
I don't know.
Like shows like that, that's what confuses me. Like, you know, you guys watched Atlanta, and then it just seems like it disappears. Everybody talks about it, then it disappears. Is it on break? Is it done?
The first season was like pretty well. Like, okay, this is the story going through, like that, and then the second season was basically like 8 short films with the characters from Atlanta. That makes sense.
Okay.
Didn't really like go together. It was like all over the place, but it was really good. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It was really, really good.
We got the text of the day by far, talking about the greatest comebacks in sports history. As Michael Jordan was talking about Tiger Woods, Jiffy Lube text line here, 44-1140. How about the lowdown coming back from the NBA All-Star Draft?
Recovery of all recoveries.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Because we were dead. That, yeah. Like, we came back to life. We were, yeah. That's solid.
My favorite part of that is you asking Jason, do you think this is going to be on a best of? And just to pause, nope.
And I'm so happy so many people heard it.
Yeah.
By far, no matter what you think of what we do every day, that was by far the worst.
Yeah.
You could love us, you could hate us, but we can say without a doubt, that was the absolute
worst.
And we
were trapped. We had to fill the roster. We were two or three picks in and going, we both knew it.
It's like, and it was one of those long segments. Like, we couldn't throw it a commercial. We couldn't play a song. We were dead.
All right, who you got?
The only thing you can do at this point is acknowledge, like, hey, you guys think this is bad?
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, it's a task. We're going to finish the job.
Yep.
Not saying it's going to be a good one, but yep. We got
and at that point, it was, oh, so that's why TNT taped it instead of doing it live.
Yes. But what was great is this year we saw, I don't know if it was First Take or one of those shows did a live All-Star Draft, and if it wasn't worse than ours, it was as bad.
We saw what they were going through.
On-air drafts, bad idea.
Yeah.
For those of you who are looking to get into radio or television. Let's wrap up today. Champ, what do we got?
Okay, fast forward to Monday. Are we going to say that the Thunder Blazer series is more likely to be tied or over?
This thing's over, dude.
Wow. Come on.
How are you going to start? Because, okay, it'd be easy to say, well, the Thunder will at least win one.
Uh-huh.
That's not the option here.
Right.
Either the Thunder are winning two or the Thunder are losing two. I've seen nothing through two games that leads me to believe the Thunder are winning the next two. I understand it's at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City has a great crowd. Maybe I'm trying to do some reverse psychology here on the Oklahoma City Thunder and Russell Westbrook. I understand Russell Westbrook sat at the podium, and during the few questions he answered, he said, in fact, he wasn't even answering a question. He sat down, he grabbed the microphone, he said, this was on me. I've got to play better, and in game three, I'm going to. I admire that. I admire that if you were sluggish. I admire that if you weren't hustling. I admire that if you were outworked or were just lazy. He's just not shooting well. And when he is, Paul George isn't. How are you going to fix that headed into game three or four or five or six or 10? How are you going to fix that? Are the shots just going to suddenly fall? They're not running an offense like sloppy. They're just not hitting their shots. And a change in venue, I know the line, Jason, role players play better at home. Okay. Role players haven't been the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George and Russell Westbrook have been the problem. How is that going to change over the course of the weekend, starting tonight?
Yeah, well, more likely my answer, this is one of the series I think is going to go for a while. I really think OKC is going to have this tied when we're back here on the weekend, or after the weekend, excuse me, for a couple of reasons. One, I go to game one. Now, again, Portland won the games. That's what's important. I remember watching this game and thinking, they're in a good position here. They're going to win this game. It was after Tigers, after golf, and Portland was leading, and then Paul George finally hit a three, put him up one, and I started to think they're just going to finish this game. They're going to find a way to win, and it doesn't matter how. Lillard countered that with a deep three. Portland ended up executing what they needed to at the end and won. It was anybody's game. Game two was a little bit more in control in the second half for the Blazers, but first half, OKC built a 10-point lead. So I think the role player thing is legit for Portland's sake. So now those groups are going on the road. I don't know that they're going to get the same performance there. They still are missing Nurkic. The two best players, they still have the two top two players. Now, Lillard might be the best in this series, but next two best players are on OKC. I think those two guys are going to shine. They're going to be at home. Now we talk about the desperate team. They are desperate. And I think they know a lot of things are on the line. I really envision them evening this series.
I hope you're right, because I do want the series to go a long time. The Portland Trail Blazers right now have that New Orleans Pelicans feel of last year, where you lost a very, very important player, but you kept rolling, you kept playing well, and now you're running through your first series. It was actually the Trail Blazers that were on the end of that, and perhaps that's what they're drawing from. Perhaps they went into their team meeting saying, hey, You remember what happened when DeMarcus Cousins went down? Well, the Pelicans came in and rolled us in the first round. Well, now we have Jusuf Nurkić going out, and it's our turn. We have to come together. Hey, we have one of the most dynamic backcourts in the entire league. Let's take advantage of that. We went and got Enes Kanter before the trade deadline. Let's do something with that. And Kanter was very valuable in the first game, not so much the second, but neither was Steven Adams, and that's the problem. Steven Adams was actually really good in the first game, just Kanter did more
right.
And was significantly more influential, and obviously the outcome because the Portland Trailblazers won. I hope you're right, and I am very much doing reverse psychology, thinking that the Thunder series is going to be over by the time we get back. But in all seriousness, I don't know how – do they just shoot better because they're at Oklahoma City? Been a problem that's plagued them for a while. It's just not game one and two. It's a problem that has plagued Russell Westbrook all season.
No, that's true.
And it's a problem that's hit the Oklahoma City Thunder really since the All-Star break.
Well, and the interesting thing is I honestly think it's a really even series. The regular season – showed that too. The Thunder won all four, but those were close games too. So I don't think there's a big gap in separation. I don't know that it's as simple as just going home, but I think that'll help get the home crowd rallied behind them, being the desperate team. I mean, tonight, a couple of the teams, whether it's Indiana and OKC, being at home down 0, I mean, you have to win that third game. Yeah. You just have to give yourself any chance. It's hard to win 4 out of 5, but it shouldn't be thought of any differently for OKC to think, well, some teams win the in a sweep, they win the first four. I can't imagine a team winning four in a row. Well, team sweep at the front end of it. Why couldn't OKC win the next four? It's very possible. They're talented enough to do it. They just got to play better. And they have shot historically bad, though. I mean, those three-pointers, that's you just feel like a few more are going to go in.
Fans have thought like this. Fans can think like this. Media can think like this. Players won't. Organizations won't. The Pacers losing, they have an excuse.
Right.
They lose the series. They have an excuse. The Blazers, if something happens over the fourth, they have an excuse. It's not going to be as – it's not nearly as in bold print like the Pacers and Victor Oladipo, but they have an excuse. The Thunder, they got nothing.
Nope.
They've got absolutely no excuse if they lose a first-round series.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it. And maybe that's part of the problem, you know, after our conversation with Sam Amick. There's no sense of urgency from Billy Donovan.
It better be there tonight for their team, otherwise it will be trouble.
I wonder if Thunder fans are like, man, let's lose this series. Maybe they do fire Billy Donovan and we'll have time to go grab Monty Williams.
Bring back Durant.
Well?
LeBron went back.
Yeah, that was home. You got Raptors tonight?
Yes.
I know you got Pacers.
Raptors, Pacers, Thunder.
Okay.
You?
Raptors, Celtics.
Now you have to make a pick.
I have to say the Blazers, right? Because I said the series would be over by the time we got back. So reverse psychology like a mofo. Let's go Blazers.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, if I were to rank two of my favorite players, it's Russ and Dame is right behind him.
Well, and Lillard's totally outplayed Russ.
Oh my gosh, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah,
he's been absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah, this is a long conversation, and maybe we'll have a chance to delve into it on Monday. But we'll see what happens. No other series can end, I think, except for that one.
Right.
Because the Bucks and the Raptors, or excuse me, the Bucks and the Pistons is tomorrow.
It's game three.
So we'll gear up, I think, on Monday for game four. And then the Rockets, same with the Rockets and the Jazz.
Right.
That'll be a Saturday, Monday. Thanks so much for being with us. If you watched on the live stream, we appreciate you. Or no matter how you listened, how you watched, we greatly appreciate it. If you missed our conversation with Melissa Villasenor, please go back and check that out. We promise you'll love it on the app. It's in the on-demand section, hour number one. On the live stream, it's about 30 minutes in. Same with the podcast, about 30 minutes into the show. Thank you so much for being with us. For J. Ross, the champ, I'm Damian Barling. Have a fantastic weekend.